All right, and welcome everyone to another Tuesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal. I wanted to play a couple of things. I need to get one little thing going here before I say much of anything else, because I keep forgetting all the time. And now, also, I want to welcome PSN Radio. I forget a lot to hit that stream. I'm allowed to take the PSN Radio stream whenever I do my show on People's Internet Radio here. So I just took it, and now I'm streaming on PSN Radio also. But I played those two little videos. One was from Facebook. It was, it's about this all-to-do-nothing, a mountain out of a molehill distraction that has been going around America here for the last week. For those over in the EU that haven't heard or don't know about what's going on, the American football player, and I don't even care what his name is now. Don't even know his name, really. I don't follow sports anymore. But what he did was, for the most part, not stand up during the national anthem that's played at most sporting events all around America here for the longest time now. He did not stand up, and he did not recognize the national anthem. And I just happened to find that little YouTube video afterwards. Kind of pokes fun at the national anthem also, and the nationalism issue for that fact. It is basically what that YouTube video afterwards, where the little children are saying, this is not a brainwashing, or something to that effect. But it basically is a brainwashing. The nationalism argument, it is a fallacy. It is an argument that most governments will perpetrate on their people, on the citizens, on the common people. If you're not adhering to the to your nation's undertaking, if you're not going along with it, you're not a good citizen of whatever country that happens to be, whether it's America or Scotland or Ireland or the UK or whatever. It doesn't really matter what country you pick. If you're not going along with the agenda, if you're not going along with the program, you're not a good citizen, supposedly. Anyways, but another one of their arguments that they try to put forth also goes along with the nationalism argument. If you're not supporting the war effort, if you're not supporting your government's wars, you're not a good citizen either. You must be a commie, or you must be a socialist or something. And these are all fallacies. They're all fallacious arguments. They don't hold any water. They don't hold any weight. At least for people that are intelligent enough to realize what they are. Sing up, salute the flag, and keep marching deeper into Camp USA. That's right, Graham. You got that absolutely right. That's about the extent of it. Yeah, that's about the extent of it, Graham. Exactly right. I think, well, this argument is nothing new. They've been using it for a long, long time. More than likely, I have heard it goes back into ancient Roman times. Caesar and his Congress, his Senate, they all tried to put that fallacy type of an argument to the people. And oddly enough, they also invented the professional sports, Caesar and his cabal, if you will. They invented sports to distract the people from their raping and pillaging. They built the Colosseums to try to distract people. And it's, it's not just an American thing, as I mentioned. These type of things go all around the world. One little sports hero will act like he's not going along with the program. You know, I've also have another problem with these fake little movements that go around all over the world with sports stars, and not really trying. I believe this is fake and controlled. I don't really know. I can't say I can prove it, but in my heart, I believe it's a controlled, contrived, concerted thing that's going on here between this sports star and the public. Well, the mainstream media, for that fact. They seem to be all for this nationalism. You know, if you're not supporting the war movement, you're not supporting the troops. That's another one of their arguments they try to put forth. You're not for this war? Well, why aren't you supporting your troops? You're not a good citizen. You're not a good Irishman. You're not a good Scot. You're not a good Englishman. You're not a good American unless you support the war effort. Unless you support your troops. Well, I do support the troops. I want to bring them home. They don't need to be occupying some foreign land, oppressing them. I've been watching this series of shows on the History Channel. It's all about the snipers. The snipers of countries all over the world. They use selective language. They carefully write the scripts for these people that are doing these shows. They use words like terrorists, insurgents, and all these things that these all these people that these snipers are killing, they make it all fuzzy and fun and glorious. But the facts are they are omitting the fact that the American government and the American militaries have infiltrated, not really infiltrated, but they've invaded these countries over in the Middle East under false pretenses, and then they try to justify when the people of these regions fight back. They're called insurgents, they're called terrorists, they're called savages, they're called everything except for what they are. They're trying to protect their homeland. They're trying to protect their families. Are they just supposed to set back and not do anything about what other countries invade and do to them? It seems so. It seems that if they step up and say anything, they're called a name and killed. They're called some silly little name and then shot. or blown up by a bomb. It really makes one wonder. I do have somebody that has contacted me, and I'm going to bring him on here in a few minutes. I think he's probably listening, so in a few minutes here, I will put another song on and get that guest ready. And who knows, might even get some more callers. I don't know. I'll have to see, but you know, it all comes down to a understanding issue. Once somebody understands what the manipulation is, what their mentality, what they do with this information really tells about someone. Yes, that's what I was trying to say, Graham. Exactly right. How can you insurge into your own country? The real insurgents are U.S. and NATO mercenaries. Exactly right. But somebody's intelligence, that really makes the defining difference. Well, you know, you call a man an insurgent, but yet you're the one that invaded his country under false pretenses, and you're the one shooting at him, but yet you call him a insurgent or a terrorist. Makes a lot of sense. It really does. All right, I'm going to put another song on here and talk to my guest. See what we want to talk about. Got to find me a good song here. Guess I do got to find something here. All right, here's another good one. Be back in just a few minutes here, everyone. All right, and welcome back after that little short break there. My guest isn't quite ready yet there. He'd just gotten home, and he needed a few minutes, so I was going to say a few more things. I wanted to also address something that Vin said on Monday about the abortion issue, about the abortion thing. I'm not going to throw blame to either men or women, or males or females, but I am going to blame both with saying that it's a moral issue. I think societal would be the good word. It's a societal issue. It's an issue of morality. I do know that a lot of people all over the world want to define a family as a married man and a married woman. But that's not really a sovereign way to think of something. Just a committed relationship should be a better definition, in my eyes anyways, in my mind. Because, well, you know, I was, at one time, I would have said, yeah, you need to get married in the eyes of the state to be a regular family. But I no longer think that way. I think a committed relationship, two people can get married. Absolutely. And they don't need the permission of the state to get married. They don't need permission. Well, I think the state defines marriage as you need a license. You need to ask permission of the state to get married in the eyes of God. And that's not really the case. You can get married in the eyes of God without the state, without a little piece of paper. And you can be moral with a committed relationship. Moral isn't a nationalistic type of thing to look at. Well, I think I'm going to give my guest a call here. I think he's ready now, so I'm not going to take a break or anything. I'm not going to put a song on, so just going to call him and say hi. Hello.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Too bad. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you could speak up a little bit and get a little closer to your mic. Or.
Okay, just a new mic. Is that any better?
Yes, it is.
Good.
I haven't even introduced you yet. This is...
pre-introduced?
No, I didn't. No, this is Tiger Boy from the chat.
Oh, shit. Am I on?
Yes, you are. I didn't take a break.
Okay.
I didn't take a break or anything. No, I was just, I got done with the song there and I just said a few extra words and you sent me the message, so I just brought you right up.
Oh, no problem. Just in from work and just trying to get things sorted.
Yeah.
Oh. So what are we talking about? We're talking about abortion?
I thought either the abortion thing or also the little distraction with the American football player over here. I thought we could get into both of them or anything. I happened to mention after I got done with the song there that I think it's a moral issue. I don't think it's a male issue or a female issue. I think it's an issue of morality.
Yeah, but whose morality?
Whose? Exactly. It takes two to make a baby.
No, but how do you define morality? Is morality subjective or objective?
Well, I think, maybe this is just my opinion, but I think someone that is not in a committed relationship, they, either a man or a woman, you know, they have to face the facts. Men do need to protect themselves, and so do women.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I just say they need to understand what the consequences are, both men and women. Sure, it's all fun and games. You want to go out and have fun. I know a lot of young people, a lot of young men especially, are told when they're teenage boys, you know, go out and have your fun. And then when you want to settle down, find a good woman and make a relationship. Don't really necessarily have to be married, but, you know, be in a committed relationship. And then you can have children. And I think that's the way it should be. I don't think necessarily married, but a lot of times it is marriage. But it doesn't really have to be. I think just a committed relationship where both of them talk about children. I think that's the big issue that people don't talk about wanting to have children or not wanting to have children. I have a 30-year-old nephew. He met this girl. They've been together like over 6 years now. And he told her right off the beginning he did not want to have children. But she does. They don't, they're not protecting themselves. They're not using protection or anything. But, you know, I think he's going to be sorely disappointed if something happens. I don't know.
I believe it's a choice for two people to make.
Yeah.
What happens if it's an accident? I think in this one, for I really do, I would agree with Finn and everything, but what he said on Monday night, I'd probably be 100% behind him. You know, abortion is wrong just because it's either in the womb or, you know, it's still a baby.
It is, yeah. you know, it seems the baby doesn't have any say whatsoever.
Yep. He made a good point, too. He's saying it's a woman's right to have an abortion, but that's like an oxymoron. What about the baby's right? I mean, you're trampling on one person's right to give another person the right to kill the
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, where the relationship... I mean...
It doesn't have to be religion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not into religion. It's to do with morality. You're right.
Yeah. I've said time and time again on many shows, it's not a religious issue. It's a morale. It's a morality issue.
Yeah.
You don't have to be religious to be moral. You really don't. There are plenty of atheists out there. There are plenty of people that are agnostic, and they are quite moral. They lead moral lives.
Well, morality, I don't think, has much to do with religion.
No.
Religion is just a corporate institution to have control of you.
Yeah. Do you have any way of getting closer to your microphone, maybe?
Is that any better?
Yeah, it is. I'm just actually going to bring you up in the mixer there. So.
Still getting used to the mic.
Oh, goodness. I got to bring you back down now. Okay. No, this is just... a couple of things have been bugging me. You know, I'm not going to throw the blame on either males or females. I think both parties are guilty. And there's a lot of guilt that needs to be put on the system itself, on the Planned Parenthood system, on the government system. They push for abortion. Those are the facts. The abortion clinics don't really do a whole lot to say that there's an alternative. You know, there are literally millions of people all over the planet that are willing to adopt. But I just feel that people shouldn't put themselves in that sort of a situation. History has shown that there's been birth control that goes all the way back into ancient Roman times. There's been birth control around for a long, long time, you know. It just doesn't get used enough. I just think somebody else should think about the child, about the baby.
Well, Planned Parenthood, I think, is run as a business in America. I'm not an expert in the subject, but don't they sell the baby parts?
A lot of them have been caught. I don't know if every single one of them does it, but there have been a lot of clinics that have been caught and doing a lot of nefarious things, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, how can they have an unbiased view if it's big business then?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a few years ago now that it come out that, I think it was Pepsi or Coke, one or the other, the soft drink corporation, they were putting some sort of they were chopping up something or whatever, I don't know what it was, and putting it in their soft drinks, you know? That's pretty,
surprise me.
Yeah, that's pretty sad to know. You pick up a Coke or a Pepsi and you're drinking part of a fetus. Or you're ingesting parts of fetuses.
That just makes you sick.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. I was more thinking, I mean, I didn't hear that. That's the first I've heard that. That's just shocking. I was hearing about that the Planned Parenthood was in the baby part business, the human organs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the entire, I don't want to make Lori mad here, but there's been quite a few hospitals and doctors all over the world that have been, caught trafficking body parts of adults and children, people that were born and died somehow, you know, whether they were in accidents or however they died, they've been caught selling body parts. They sell hearts, livers, kidneys, eyes, most everything that can be donated for transplant purposes. There's been doctors all over the world been caught selling those things. There's some parts of America where people are told in the area, all over America, a lot of people know, don't sign your driver's license until that you want to donate your organs to science, or donate your organs to transplants, because the doctors will deliberately try not to save you so they can sell these body parts.
Yeah.
And there's been doctors all over America that have been charged with not deliberately saving a patient so they could sell body parts.
And you wonder why people don't trust the medical profession these days?
Yeah, the medical industry or the government, yeah. Would get a lot for our liver, kind of safe in that regard. As a Graham said, yeah. The biggest gangsters in the world are Christian fundamentalists. They're evangelical tunnel vision. Breeds hatred and division, just like it was.
It depends.
Yeah.
I mean, I would class myself as a Christian fundamentalist, but I wouldn't count myself as an organized one.
Yeah.
I'm not a member of any church.
I hear you. So where are you from anyways, Tiger?
From Belfast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The north.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like I said, I consider myself a Christian, sola scriptura. But like I say, I wouldn't believe in an organized religion.
Well, I'm the same way, actually. You know, one can believe in God, but you don't have to go to a church and subscribe to it.
That's where the problems start.
Yeah. I remember my father telling me long, long ago when I was a boy, you know, he said he believed in God, but he didn't believe in the church. And I understand why he said that to me now. I feel the same way.
Well, it's just indoctrination of one sort of another.
Yeah. Hello, Dodger.
It's the same with the flag. It's the same with the flag. I mean, it's just indoctrination. If you know the history of flags, I mean, most of the flags come from the Templars. If you look at the British flag and the American flag, it's just owned by the West. I think it's the West Indian Trading Company.
Yeah.
Or it's the East Indian Trading Company. Can't get them confused. I think it's the West Indian Trading Company. If you look under flags and the West Indian Trading Company, you will see that most of the flags are owned by them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a false thing to you know, give your faith to anyways. You're supposed to give your faith to your fellow man. But it's just another fallacy. It's just another false argument.
Well, yes, when you pledge Pledge of Allegiance, pledging their allegiance to the flag, I mean, surely you should be pledging, like you're saying, their allegiance to their fellow man. I mean, why would you swear allegiance to your country? That's just stupid. I mean, you don't go off fighting for your country. Your country's a corporation.
Graham
surely
said
you would stand and fight for your fellow man, yeah?
Graham said it was the East Indian company.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, the two of them had a competition for a while, red and blue.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
So, like I was saying, yeah, I mean, most of the states these days are just corporations. The state of Northern Ireland, the state of England, the UK. Somebody just mentioned to me recently that the UK actually means person. I'm not sure where he got that from, but it was certain right.
That's not surprising.
That was Patrick Cullinan. I'm not sure if you heard him. He mentioned to a friend of mine that he researched what the UK meant, and it just meant person. Well, since it's a corporation, a body corporate, that would make sense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really up on the total definitions of a lot of those things. You know, I know it's a I know it's just a ruse. I know it's all a, they use semantics a lot, that's for sure. They say, or they will write one word, but it will actually have a different meaning to them, and a different, you know, one meaning to you, but a different meaning to them. And that's the way a lot of things are done, as far as the establishment.
Oh, great.
You still in the chat?
I'm trying to get used to doing two things at once. I'm just talking in the chat box.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of a delay also, I think, anywhere between 15 and 30 seconds. So
that's good in case I start swearing.
Yeah, the little ones are still up over there, aren't they?
Well, it's about 5 to 10 over here.
Yeah.
What are you about? You about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock over there?
No, it's not even 5 p.m. over here yet.
Good grief. Still daylight?
Yes. Very, very much so, and it's still hot.
Yes. So what do you think about swearing allegiance to your country? Do you think it's just brainwashing, indoctrination?
Certainly it is. Well, you know, I understand now, but quite a few years ago, I was one of those people. I was one of those men that would, you know, stand up at a ball game and sing the national anthem. And they used to, I think I was in, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade the last time we had to stand up in the morning when you got to class and swear the allegiance to the flag.
Every single day.
Yeah, every day. And people want to bring that back.
There was somebody in the past once said the best way to get a war stopped is to make everybody who votes for it go fight it.
Yeah, yes.
You get no more wars.
Yeah. Do you know what the actual distraction is that I was talking about earlier with the American football player?
No, I don't really listen to news much. So I take it what you've said is that somebody refused to stand up.
Yeah.
Did he give a reason why he refused to stand up?
Yes, he did. He was, he said that America was the oppressor and America was the instigator, and he spoke of the American Indians. He spoke of the African slavery, and he spoke the truth. It's basically what he did.
Yeah, but when you say America, what you're doing is you're negating responsibility. America is just an ideology. It's the people behind the term America.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's yes, you're right there, Graham. Legalese. All words in legality have been defined legalese, yeah. And it's also just the indoctrination that, they expect you to almost be like an Orwellian citizen. You're supposed to raise your right hand, put it over to your heart, and swear allegiance to your flag and swear allegiance to your government. And you're not supposed to trust your fellow man, allegedly anyways. That's the way a lot of them think. Leave everything to government. We'll take care of you.
We're back to morality again. You have to do what you think is right, no matter what your government tell you. Government again is just a term for people.
Yeah, well, there's no such thing as government.
that's the whole point.
You and I know that. That's why you can't sue government, because there's no such thing as government.
That's it. There's just people behind the shadows.
And you can't sue a corporation either, because it doesn't exist. But that's the Act of 1871 for over here in America, anyways. I'm not sure what it would be over there, but that's when America gave the corporation its citizenship.
But as far as I'm aware, when Lincoln ended the accession before the Civil War, he didn't actually restart it again. So therefore, you still only have the 13 states. Is that true?
That's not really in my department either. I haven't really done a lot of studying about that, so I can't really give an honest opinion.
What I heard is after the he stopped the last session to go to war, it was never reconnected. I think that was Bill Thornton. It was said at one of his seminars that it was never restarted again. Therefore, you're back to the 13 states.
Yeah, the original colonies, huh?
That's why it's still under martial law. That's why the president can still issue executive orders, because they're still under military rule. The war has never ceased.
That's a good possibility. I think that's why each and every president that comes into office, they have to declare an emergency. And yep. I'm not really up on all that either, but I have heard that they have to declare some sort of an emergency to be able to continue with the martial law.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's why you can get the statutory courts still in operation, simply because it is martial law. I think it's Howard Freeman. He goes into that a lot, and he basically says you can seek remedy under non-combatants, under usufruct. There, if anybody interferes with you, you can turn around and say you're interfering with my right to use property in a peaceful manner, and you're setting me to mixed rebellion. And it's backed up by the Hague Convention and the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, but a lot of those don't really mean anything anymore. They're not, most of the governments of the world don't adhere to those anymore. They don't adhere to the World Court either.
Depends on which format you bring it in, I think.
Well,
I mean, if it's a statutory court, they are bound by statutory rules.
Yeah, but the way I understand it, Tiger, a lot of these dictators over here in America for the last 60, 70 years, they've been breaking the Geneva Conventions. They've been breaking UN sanctions. They've been breaking UN laws and world court laws and that kind of stuff. And they get they don't even get looked at anymore. They don't even get scrutinized.
That's because Marga is in a bad way at the minute.
It's what?
Marga is in such a bad way. I mean, it's just, I mean, one of the worst places I've seen so far. Your court systems are probably slightly better than ours, but your freedoms are definitely not.
Yeah, they're being eroded day in and day out.
God forbid you should ever give up your guns.
See, that's the way I look at it too. I do understand both sides. I can look and scrutinize both sides of the argument. Nobody needs weapons, as far as I'm concerned. Ignorant people need weapons. Brainwashed people need weapons. You know, if you can't talk to another man or a woman civilized, those are the type of people that need weapons. They want to take, well, every ten-horned dictator for the past few hundred years is one of the people's weapons, so they can't fight back.
I can't remember who said the quote. I think democracy is like 11 wolves and a sheep in a room, and republic is when the sheep is heavily armed.
Yeah. That sounds like a good one. I never heard that one.
I'm not sure if it was one of your presidents. I'm not sure who said it. Huh. We'll have to Google it. But yes, no, I believe, you know, well, over here we don't have guns, but we've got, we're policed by consent, whereas you're policed by force.
Yeah.
Huh. So that'd be a reason why you would need the guns more than us.
Well, that's why they call them police forces. I think Vin also mentioned that too, didn't he?
I'm not sure. When was that?
I've heard that recently. Was that Monday? From somewhere. No, I heard that somewhere. That's why they're called police forces. Police force. And it makes
sense.
We're
still fortunate enough to be policed by consent.
Yeah.
I don't know for how long that's going to last, but I believe you're policed by force.
Well, they can't be blatantly, you know, they can't just come out and blatantly say, well, yeah, we're going to be the only ones that have the guns, and you're not, because we are still policed by force. But I would really need to take like 6 months or a year off, or just do stuff occasionally and, you know, study it like Vin has and like Mr. T has and some of the others, Obi-Wan, to effectively be able to try to fight the system the correct way, to correct it well, to be able to fight it with their own tools, be able to fight it with their own language.
Well, one of the things we came up against just recently about their own language is most court forms, whether they be in civil court, the magistrate court, or the high court, or commercial court, they're in multiple languages. They're in Pig Latin, and they're in something called American Sign Language, ASL. And a wee quick remedy is you just call them on it. You just turn around and say, excuse me, you sent me this summons, and I don't think it's been properly served. And if they turn around and say, well, why isn't that not being properly served? It's because I don't understand the language in it. Can you please explain to me what it is? And because it's multiple languages, you've got uncertainty of fact and uncertainty of law. So you can basically turn around and maybe put a motion in to have it dismissed because it was improperly served.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really ironic you should bring that up, because I consider legalese not being proper English or not being a language, but it seems like they do. Boy, Sean, you got some kind of a glitch going on there. You're doubling everything there. I don't even know if he knows it or not, but it's being doubled. Everything he writes goes in there twice.
Maybe he's got a stutter.
I don't know.
Like New York, New York. So good. He has to say it twice.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, New York is just the extension of the English, the Britain's old York.
Yeah. Is it true then that the reason it's such a Jewish hold in New York is that when most immigrants went to America, they spread out over the whole of America, whereas when the Jews went over, they just tended to spread out within a few miles of New York?
Yeah. It was Sean that mentioned the police forces earlier. And he said, Sean can't see the double. But I'm not sure if the rest of us can. I know I can.
I've just noticed it now, yeah.
I don't know, Sean. I don't know if signing out will do anything or not. But we're seeing the double. Anyways, that's a little bit of a distraction there. But yeah, the use of the word force and police, it gives a psychological impression there, doesn't it?
It gives a negative connotation, yeah?
Yeah, a negative connotation.
Well, in America, I mean, I've seen some videos on YouTube where the people have got pulled over for having, you know, the wrong indicator or no indicator, and they're getting shot at the side of the road. You know?
Uh-huh.
Makes you think twice about even owning a motor car.
Yeah. I do like the one little, I guess it would be a meme that goes around Facebook every now. I guess maybe it goes around a lot of the social medias where it shows a picture of a police officer walking up to the man or the woman and says, do you know why I pulled you over? And I think the meme goes something like, well, since I know I haven't broken any law, you must be trying to get me to contract with the state or the city for monetary purposes or something like that. I'd like to try that one time, but I don't think I will. It would, probably piss somebody off pretty bad and probably get beaten or killed. I don't know.
Yeah, over there you have to really pick your moments.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I would probably have to take 6 months or a year off. Hang on a second, I gotta answer a message. Yeah, I think I would have to take 6 months off to really, you know, learn this stuff, to understand the semantics and the. And the legalese, to understand the language, to even...
Well, I was just thinking about legalese. I mean, you don't have to really get too much into legalese because none of it applies to you. it's just a language of... I think I Googled it once and it just came up a language of deceit.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm going to close my door. There's a lot of noise off in the background there. Go ahead and say something if you have something there.
No, I mean, the whole point of their legal system is to perpetrate fraud in the court. I mean, that's the whole point. They get you in, they try and make you into a non-entity, and then they deceive you in every single way possible.
Yeah. Well,
I have no respect for the judiciary whatsoever or any,
you know,
any
it's,
lawyer.
It's the fact that they have to trick you with wordplay into getting you to do things. Because if they just come right out and said what it was actually was, you know, if they said, well, we want you to pay us to be able to drive your vehicle, your car, or your motorcycle down the road, people would say, no, I don't think so. I think I'll just keep my money. So they have to trick people.
That's the whole point. I mean, they're just modern-day Pharisees and scribes. I mean... Jesus even got angry with them.
Sure he did. Yeah.
He just lost it with them. People go, why did they, he get upset in the temple? I mean, it was just the whole lot. It was usury. Somebody mentioned, I think John mentioned that a couple of nights ago, usury.
Yeah.
Also then on top of that, it was the lawyers and the scribes, you know, and the Sanhedrin. Basically the whole judicial system.
Yeah, exactly.
Backed up by the banks.
Yep.
Nothing changes.
Yeah, they call it interest, but it's actually just legalized theft.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, how about a quick little break here, Tiger?
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me get a song here. Don't even know when I'm playing here, but... I think it was actually one of John McCann's songs, so from Saturday. The biggest crime ever committed by the people of Earth. Exactly. You're right, Vin. So I have Tiger Boy with me here, everyone. And we'll be back after about this 4.5 minute break. take a little nature break. Put your spotted tea on if you want. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back after that little short break there. I still have Tiger Boy with me. I don't know. I guess we can try to continue on with the usury discussion. I'm not really versed in it. That's not something I've studied for a long, long time. But, you know, I do have a little understanding of it. I do know it's just legalized theft. Taxation is just legalized theft with the semantics that they use and the verbiage that they use. Most everything that they do has to have deception in it, I think. Tiger.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it goes back to the saying that Jesus said, basically all sins are caused by the love of money. I mean, if you think about it, you take out money from society and have a moneyless society, I mean, 90% of all crime, if not higher, would just disappear, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people misquote the Bible. A lot of people say have the mantra that says money is the root of all evil, but it's not really. It was a misnomer. I believe the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right, yeah.
The seeking of money. I don't really think that people that have wealth are bad people. I think people that have wealth that do evil things with their money are evil. I think what is done with the money tells something about, you know, somebody that has money. If they do bad with it, yeah. But if they do good with it, that's a different story.
Yeah, getting money at the expense of others.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go and tell that to the Rothschild and see how it's what you get.
You might get a sniper SWAT team bust in your door and kill you with their fancy weapons and that.
I think they more work on poison than they do that.
Yeah, you think so?
The great tool of the Jesuits was always poison. That's why the people had white hair in the old days. I think it was either arsenic or that was the other one. The get you know, when a judge or when anybody rich used to piss off their servants, they usually got poisoned. So to get immunity over the years, what they used to do is just take a little bit. I think it was arsenic maybe. And that used to turn their hair white. That's why you see a lot of rich people wearing the white wigs. Unless I think that's where the judges get their white wigs from. I'm just guessing. But I think I heard that story once.
Hmm.
So their choice of weapon, the Jesuits anyway, was always the poison. Isn't that how the Pope got killed? 30-day Pope? Poison?
Yeah. Pope John Paul I, I think.
Yeah, the one trying to turn around the banking system.
Yeah, the one just in our lifetime here. I think it was it 1978, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think when he got elected to them, he actually went and he cursed him for electing him. Uh-huh. Because the Prophecy of Symbology actually predicted that he wasn't going to live long. So he actually tried to turn it down, and when he couldn't turn it down, he damned them all.
Well, he knew that. I think they all... I think a lot of them knew that he had a high moral standard and he wasn't going to put up with it. And I don't know, maybe he was set up. And it's quite ironic also that Pope John Paul II, he was almost assassinated 3 years after he got elected to the papacy. I wonder what happened. I mean, I wonder what he actually tried to do there or did or whatever. And they tried to end him also.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the establishment heading him. I mean, he worked for the establishment. I mean, there's...
John Kennedy worked for the establishment too.
Yeah, but at least he tried to turn things around at the end.
Yeah, and that's why they took him out.
That's why they took him out. Set of conscience, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes back to usury. He tried to come bring. He tried to bring back the silver dollar.
Uh huh.
And he tried to make the CIA responsible for its own actions.
Yeah, he tried to disband the CIA. Said he was going to bust it up into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah, well, that's because, as far as I'm aware, the CIA swears allegiance to the Crown.
Well, certainly they do. Yeah.
Yeah. So not exactly an American secret service. It's the British Secret Service, making sure that their banking system and then their federal system and their judicial system based in America doesn't get interfered with.
Right, yep.
Yep. Wasn't that why the White House was burnt down? Because the Americans tried to take back the judicial system?
Good possibility of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they, you know, they always have some sort of a alternative explanation for something that they do.
Well, yeah, they have multiple levels of explanation.
Yeah, knowledge is power, and you know, I've said it on a few shows here lately that you don't really have to control everybody that's in a particular police force or anything like that. You don't have to control everybody that's in a government agency. You just have to control the upper tiers of the structure. Then you can control the entire structure.
That's what common purpose is all about.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you just go and talk to some official and it's just like the shutters are down. I mean, there's nobody at home. They've just, you know, you ask them to think for themselves and it's not worth their job. Or maybe that's why they don't do it, because they know it'll be their job if they start thinking for themselves.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact a lot of the police and military, they're more or less conditioned that way. They are taught not to listen to whoever they're trying to arrest or whoever they're trying to take money from, whether it's, you know, write out a ticket for a summons or whatever the case happens to be. They teach the man or the woman not to listen to the one they're doing ill will to.
Well, that's because if they start listening to them,
something might resonate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, people say if I lived in Germany during World War II, this would never happen to me. Wake up.
Wake up. It's happening in every country.
Absolutely. In fact, it's probably worse now, because at least in Nazi Germany, you knew who the bad guys were.
Yeah. Although, you know, I'm not one to go after that type of a subject, but we've been lied to so many times on so many different subjects as far as the governments all over the world, that things need to be scrutinized. And, you know, as far as the Nazi Holocaust, I don't know if 6 million Jews were exterminated. I don't really know. I know I wasn't there, but I know that we've been lied to on so many accounts. Who knows? They could be lying to us about that, too.
Well, I think somebody says mass, was it 18 million Jews before World War II, 17 million Jews after World War II, and 6 million dead, and the only one can make it work.
Yeah.
Is a Jew.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't the smartest kid in school, but I do know that math doesn't work out.
Yep. I think they changed the, what was it, the concentration camp, the main one? They had to change the stone a few times because the mass didn't work out. So it was said, first of all, it said like 2 million died here, then it changed it to 1 million died, and then it went down to about 750,000.
Well,
no, even one is too much, but
yeah,
you know I mean,
it is.
Why would you need to lie about it?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that video? Have you ever seen that video?
That was the video by the young Jewish guy who was on, he was threatened, like Salman Rushdie, for he went to the concentration camps and he investigated the gas rooms and realized that these doors aren't airtight. There's a window there. I mean, you know, there's no funnels over 100 feet tall. You know, it was completely impossible for them to use this type of gas in Auschwitz. Thanks, Graham. And these facilities. I believe people were murdered there, but I don't I think that was impossible for them to use gas with the facilities that they had at the time.
Well, I've heard that some of these so-called gas chambers weren't even built until after 1947.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Or they were built in 1947, you know, about a full year and a half after the war ended. And I've also heard reports from scientists that say that those places couldn't have possibly even been used as gas chambers.
Yeah, that's true. I think somebody on the site in the chat room posted a link that I read that said that they were using the 6 million figure from 1908 or something for different atrocities.
Yes,
that's and the 6 million kept coming up and up and up and up.
That's a video I was gonna tell you about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pass that to you in Skype.
Yep. They just love the number 6 million. Is it some sort of intrinsic value behind the number?
Uh-huh. I don't have a clue. You know, I'm not privy to that sort of research. I wouldn't even know how to research it.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if it was, there was more, I guess, something like 50 or 60 million German civilians died in the war.
Well, I think between the Russians and the Germans, yeah, there was something like that many, 60 million, or I think it was Stalin that was attributed to have killed 26 million, something like that. No,
yeah, I think friend David, he said basically that his theory behind it was simple. Was that the reason why they killed so many Jews, so many people off during the war, is so that they didn't have to pay out in benefits, you know.
Pay what benefits?
Every 70 years, there has to be a major war or major atrocity so that they can renew the debt system, the tax system. I think the first ones were back in 1869. I think the Bankruptcy Act came out shortly around that time. If you add 70 years on to 1869, you get 1939. So that's the reason why they started World War II. The bankrupt countries bankrupt in a 70-year cycle. If you go 70 years on to 1939, well, you get 2009.
Uh-huh.
You get immediate, you know, you get it happening every 10 or 15 years, but you get the major ones happening every 70 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I passed you a video in your Skype there, and you can watch after the show here, after we get done. That's a video I was talking about. It shows, I think, 12 newspapers from like 1913 all the way to 1938 or something like that. And they all pretty much have the same type of a deceptive mantra in it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the only one that gets retribution to, it seems to be, is the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, why can you not, if you go over to Germany, Austria, I mean, Munich, whatever, I mean, the only thing that you can't dispute is the Holocaust.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Exactly. Yep. Some places are trying to make that illegal. Yeah. To dispute what the official government fairy tale is.
To make it a crime, though, is it? But I mean, you go over to ransom. Well, I don't think it was 6 million. I think it was 9,999,000. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
Oh God. I mean, what is it? I mean, the same was in the was that film Gangs of New York. You can always, you know, pay one half of the poor to kill the other half of the poor. That's what the war was all about.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, what are the way to control a country to kill its youth? Therefore, you've got no youth to come up and stand up against the government.
Hmm. Well, they're not really trying to kill the youth. They're trying to poison the minds of the youth. They're trying to poison the morality of the youth.
Well, yeah, agreed. That's their modern tactic ever since Tavistock?
Something like that.
Freud and Tavistock?
Yeah. I've heard it, I think I've heard it said that they first wanted to control the woman, the females. Once you control the females, you control the children. Once you control the females and the children, you control the man. You can control the family.
Well, yes, I mean, the children gets, most of it's taken from the mother.
Yeah.
That's why they wanted to make the mother work.
Yep.
Isn't that what Aaron Russo said? Basically, they introduced feminism. In order, what was it, because half their slaves didn't pay taxes? Rockefeller told Aaron Russo that. That's the guy who made the film Trading Places, from Freedom to Fascism.
Yes, yes.
He had an interview and he said Rockefeller was talking to him and he said, "What do you think, you know, feminism was all about?"
Mm-hmm.
He was giving women's rights and he was going, "No, yeah. It was because half our slaves weren't paying taxes."
Right, exactly.
But also you're right, because I mean, if the woman goes off to work, the man's going off to work, and then the child comes home and sticks on Disney Channel and gets a morality from Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
In the old days, they had to control the population by wars. Nowadays, they just control it by every single poison you've got.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably why, you know, in America, what's a crazy number in America for IVF? It's like 1 in 4, is it?
IVF.
That's the...
in vitro fertilization?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm glad you said that.
1 in 4 people have to go through that?
I'm not sure. I think it's something crazy like that. I mean, cancer is 1 in 2 in America, I think. And then IVF is not far behind. I mean, the Handmaiden story was I think, a prelude for Hollywood's telling you that they're gonna make most women sterile.
Yeah.
Thanks to our legend, Bill Gates, pushing his vaccines all over the world.
Uh-huh.
If anybody needs to put against the wall and shut, he'd be in the top 10.
Yeah.
People are saying you shouldn't take up arms against another person. You shouldn't commit murder. But, you know, I mean, there is justifiable.
Certainly, if you're trying to protect yourself or your family.
Yep. So self-defense, yeah. I mean, there's nothing.
Or even someone else. Offensive
self-defense as well.
Yeah. I mean, not even your extended family or anything. Just somebody being brutally murdered.
This is probably why they took the wars in World War II too. I mean,
yeah,
just to get all the fighting men out of the way. I mean, anybody who didn't go to war, them stages, although, of course, the war was just propaganda. I mean, it was obviously false flags and such, but they fooled all the young people who were willing to fight into going away and getting murdered.
Yeah.
People nowadays will turn around and say, you know, you can't hurt another person or you can't take up arms against another person. Sure, that's their way of neutralizing you. I mean, wasn't that the scene in Star Wars? You know, the evil Sith was talking to Luke and goes, you know, you can't fight back. If you fight back, then you turn to the evil side.
Uh-huh.
That's just their way of to control, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what's that, Hellenic dialect?
Hegelian dialect, yeah.
Hegelian dialect, yes. To neutralize you. Yeah. Oh, if I hurt him, I'm as worse as him. Well, no. You know, people say if Hitler, you could have killed Hitler and saved 6 million people, would you have did it? Absolutely.
Yeah. And actually, there was some sort of a situation where that could have actually happened. I guess there was somebody else that was... worse than Hitler at the time, and they tried going after him, and they had the chance to get Hitler, but they took someone else out or something. I don't remember the whole story now.
That's because they needed Hitler to prolong the war?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And not enough people died yet?
Yeah, not enough people died yet.
I mean, Hitler was Jewish, Stalin was Jewish, Lenin was Jewish.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think 90% of the officers during the Russian Revolution were Jewish.
Yeah.
The ones who took out the...
Hitler was actually a Rothschild.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a coincidence.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Yeah. So all major wars would be simply a tool.
I've read a lot of history and a lot of evidence that shows the Japanese were trying to surrender multiple times as long as 6 months before the two bombs were dropped. They were trying by back channels to surrender to anybody that would listen to them. The British, the Americans, the Russians, some of the other coalition countries they were trying to surrender to. And they weren't allowed to because not enough people have been killed yet. To
yep.
basically
and America needed to drop the bombs, but more so Micah had to pretend to drop the bombs. I mean, I've seen articles before and after saying that the only two cities that happened to be bombed, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, were Jesuit-controlled Christian towns, and that there were no atom bombs. There was just a lot of dynamite set off by the Jesuits.
Huh, that's interesting.
Well, if you go to Nagasaki and Hiroshima now and take out your Geiger counter and see exactly how much radiation there is there, doesn't seem to be. I mean, many people over there are born with deformities.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then, yeah, maybe there wasn't any atom bombs dropped.
So maybe that was a fake film that they showed dropping the bombs there then?
Well, that would mean... That would, the reason why I behind up, if it was true, would be maybe then that would put the fear of God into all the nations that America would have this horrible weapon that they were going to use.
Yeah. Well, there's
and a... we'll come in and say, well, we know that's false, so either let us be a superpower too, and or we're going to spill the beans.
Yeah.
And that's how you get the two superpowers, saying, and again, that would explain the nuclear race. Just a way of the governments to funnel funds into other projects.
Uh-huh. Well, there's actually evidence out there that shows the Americans got the atomic bomb from the Nazis, from the Germans.
But that's the whole point. Is there such a thing as an atom bomb? I mean, I've seen articles online. I mean, of course, I don't know one way or the other. But is there an atom bomb? They claim that Saddam Hussein had an atom bomb. How do you know that he didn't? Because he invaded the country. If he actually had an atom bomb, they wouldn't have invaded the country.
Well, they claimed he had WMDs, which was the things like the mustard gas bombs, the nerve agent bombs. That's what they claimed that he had. And, well, he actually had them because they still had receipts that Saddam Hussein paid the Americans the money to ship them things over to him.
Okay, that would make sense.
They're
okay,
still.
So what were they objecting that he might do something that they bought from them?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know, but there's still pictures of Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld shaking Saddam Hussein's hand after we sold him the weapons of mass destruction, the WMDs. So we knew they had him. Actually, what the story is, what Greg Ford told me one time, or many, many times, they wanted to invade Iraq to get those WMDs back because they were George Bush Sr.'s company is the one that shipped them over there. The first George Bush, the older one,
mm-hmm.
Poppy Bush, him and his... Cabal is the one that sold Saddam Hussein's them WMDs. They had Carlyle Group written all over them. They had American Army and American military written all over them WMDs. They wanted to get them back.
Right. So you're talking about chemical weapons?
Yes. The chemical weapons, yeah.
Yeah, but the major ones that they didn't have. I mean, that's the whole point they went to war because of the threat of nuclear warfare.
Well, there's the deception right there.
Yeah. The main reason I think they went to war is because Saddam Hussein was bringing out the golden era, just like Gaddafi was.
Yeah. Well, Gaddafi was... Gaddafi didn't have a Rothschild Central Bank in his country. Gaddafi was helping the North African Christians. Did you know that the only people that were killed when they went after Gaddafi was the, I think, 40,000 plus North African Christians. Gaddafi was giving, he gave gasoline to his people freely. He gave them free education. He didn't take the American dollar for his oil. He took gold for his oil. And that was the big problem. He didn't have a Rothschild Central Bank controlling the usury in his country. That's basically the reason why they took him out.
Yep, that's how he took the country from being one of the poorest countries in the world to one of the top five, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, but I think the last straw for them, just like they did with Lincoln and Kennedy, when he tried to bring in the gold NRA as a separate currency. If anybody's going to bring back gold-backed money, it has to be the Rothschilds. I think Finn was talking about Atlas Shrugged a way back. In that film, it explains to you, if they're going to be bringing back gold-based money, it has to be by the Rothschilds. The whole film is about Philip Rothschild.
Certainly. What's the name of that film again?
Atlas Shrugged.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
John Todd was raving about it in 1970s.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, one of your friends has the book and offered it to me, but I believe it's something like 700 or 800 pages long.
Uh-huh.
Lazy as I am, I just watch the C films.
Yeah.
But it's all about problem, reaction, solution. I mean, they're causing this hassle, so people will clamor and go, we need a solution, and the solution is the Bradbury pound, or we need to take our money back to the gold-based solution. Well, the only problem taking your money back to the gold-based solution is just you don't have any. I mean, the only people who have the gold and silver is the Rothschilds, is the bankers.
Yeah.
They're going to try and say to you, like, we've got a solution. What is it? Oh, okay, we can take your money back so you don't lose any value in it, and there's no such thing as inflation anymore, and there's no usury, but the solution is that you have to have gold-backed money, and we've known that gold-backed money is a good solution for your country. And everybody will go, yeah, give us a gold, yeah. And then they'll go, okay, fine. We've got the gold. You're still the slaves.
Yep, yep. Well, I would just as soon see the entire monetary system abolished, and people just have to give to others instead of having to take from others or force others to give.
Yeah, I mean, what's it say in the Bible? Neither lender or borrower be.
Yes, it does.
That's because you're not supposed to, and the whole point is just to give, and if you need something back, then somebody gives it back to you.
Yeah, yeah. I felt, I don't know if you heard about a month ago, I talked to somebody and we had this sort of discussion. There's been two films I've seen. Ironically enough, they were both Star Trek films.
Hmm.
They sort of introduced the idea of not using money, not having money anymore. There's the original cast of Star Trek. They had some sort of a situation where they had to, they had to beam down to the planet Earth to do something, some sort of a task, and they had to be introduced to money because in their time period, flying out there in outer space, they didn't have money. They didn't have any use for money, and the second crew, one of their movies also. Or one of their TV shows or whatever it was, they had the same sort of a concept. They had to beam down to the planet for some sort of a task, and they had to be introduced to money because they didn't have any concept of money either. They didn't have any need for money. I think the English actor, I can't remember his name now, but he played Captain Picard. He said, in our time period, we don't have a concept of money. We don't have a use for money. And I think that's the way it should be. Myself.
Ironically, though, their system of value was gold-pressed. Gold-pressed platinum.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to look at it anyways, something is only worth as what you can finagle out of someone else. If you can convince someone that something is worth something, they'll pay you that for it, whether it's land or a house or a car, whatever the case is. Gold, it just has intrinsic value. Silver does too. Diamonds do. The people that are in control are the ones that put the value on something.
Yes, right. The Bergs, was it? They first priced the diamond, an average diamond, at a month's wages. And then when it was so successful, the price of the 3 months wages?
I think it was 3 months. And then they changed that in 1938. Yeah, I've heard that. It was, first it was like 3 months, and Then in 1938, they said, well, that's not enough, so we'll make it 6 months.
Yeah. And really, apart from drilling, diamond has no intrinsic value.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't to me anyways.
In the myth that it takes millions of years to make a diamond, I believe it doesn't. It just takes pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Graham. A loaf is worth everything to a starving man. Gold and silver has no real value. You can't eat gold and silver. You can't eat...
Silver has a value, though, of healing properties.
Well, okay. I'll give you that, but gold actually does, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using it for the benefit of man rather than as a currency, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, I have rheumatoid arthritis, Tiger, and one of my early medications that my doctor had me on was gold shots.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about Bob Back's gadget? I think I have it. I have that. You get the two diodes, the silver, pure silver. You stick it in the glass, you make your silver.
Yeah.
Try that.
Colloidal silver.
Colloidal silver?
Yeah. I actually have tried it, and I'm going to get me a little device and make my own. I just need to get around to doing it.
Why? There's that. So somebody on the website mentioned a couple of days ago for me, they think they use coconut oil, honey, and something else for arthritis.
I don't know. I don't recall now.
Yeah. So, I mean, Harry, is your arthritis?
It's rheumatoid arthritis.
What's the difference?
My arthritis attacks the joints and the tendons. It cripples up the body worse than a lot of other arthritis does.
Is that, I heard somewhere, if you have a high acid
pH? Yeah. Acidic.
Cause that?
That probably could be true. I have a lot of problems going wrong for me.
Have you tried going alkali pH?
Yeah, I don't really know how to do that yet.
right. Oh God, where are we?
The name of that movie.
The guys in the chat room, I'll get you on the pH, alkali pH, within a few months.
Probably.
Irish Graham there. It's coconut oil, ginger, honey, and cayenne peppers.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've actually been doing a lot of things here lately. Different. I've gotten some fresh ginger root, and I'm kind of dicing it up and making a tea out of it. It actually tastes pretty good.
Oh, but I mean, I think there's a website there. pH cures cancer. If you can get your pH up, that hopefully should
Yeah.
Up with your rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I don't have any type of cancer that I know of anyways. Not yet. So I'm more worried about the, the rheumatoid and the diabetes that I'm dealing with. I need to work on those two things before I work on something else. But
I think Jim was talking about the sodium bicarbonate and the MMS on Monday or Sunday.
I'm sorry, who was?
Finn.
Was
mentioning
he?
Sodium bicarbonate, MMS.
Was he? Yeah, I've taken MMS before.
Yeah.
Somebody from the network sent me some a year or so back, and I was on it for a month.
How did you find it? Did it help?
I was feeling better. It did help some things. I mean, it helped clean me out good, that's for sure.
Yes, it does that.
Yeah. I should get some more and take another regimen. Take another 2 or 3 week, I don't know what you call that.
Detox?
Yeah.
Our geek goji berries was good for your blood circulation as well.
Goji berries, yeah.
Yep, it helps you to de-acidify it. There's a YouTube video where you'll see the, I don't know if he's a chemist or a physician or what, but there's a video and he takes examples of a blood from someone who is high.
Newman wants to know what the movie was called again.
Oh, you seen it?
No. Newman put that little question in there about the 74 movie. About the film you were talking about.
Which one?
I don't know. You told me about a movie a little while ago. I asked you what it was too, and now I've forgotten. Again.
Well, yeah, the Goji Berets, if you go, I'm going to YouTube and go Goji Berets. I think it's the second or third video down on YouTube. You'll see the guy, and he'll take blood and pictures of your blood, and it'll all be stacked up like a wee row of coins. And after, I think it's 72 hours of taking Goji Berets, your blood becomes functional again. Your blood, white cell, your blood and your white, your blood, your red blood cells and your white blood cells.
Atlas Shrugged. That's what it was. Yeah.
Atlas, it came out in 1974. The three new movies came out about that recently. I didn't know there was a 1974 movie. Hmm. There's three parts to the new one now. I must look up the 1974 one.
Yeah.
But they did a three-part series on it recently. You know, was surprising me because if they've done the third part already, then they must think they've reached their goal.
Yeah.
Which, well, if you look around today, yeah, they probably reached their goal about 50 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I would sure like to continue on with this, Tiger, but the show is virtually over. Only got about 3.5 minutes left here.
Oh, brilliant. I can go and eat my dinner now.
You're just now getting ready for dinner?
Yeah, well, I was handed it when it came in. I just couldn't get a chance to eat it.
Well, I have to go get mine also. And actually, Kira's show's coming up next. Vin's going to be running that, so... Kira's in the chat there. Hi, Kira.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Kira.
So, thanks for coming on. It was brilliant.
Oh, nice talking to you. I mean, not exactly my subjects, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So, what are your subjects, anyways?
Well, just a little bit of everything, probably. But mostly, mostly I'm trying to get into the law system, and I'm trying to stay out of the law system. But mostly about that, yeah.
Okay. Well.
You know, Just trying to stay free.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope to talk to you soon.
Hopefully so.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, everyone. That is my show. It's virtually over, so thanks, and see you next Tuesday. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel the Cabal. Good night, everyone.